we're back. This is Morning Cannolis. We're talking this morning about two very important documents released this past week on Wednesday and again just yesterday on Friday by the United States Department of Justice with the authorization and the direction of federal courts in the United States of America. Right before the break, I began to chat about this memorandum written to then Attorney General William P. Barr describing the Mueller report. For those of you who are planning your morning, in our second hour, beginning at 10 o'clock this morning, the second hour of Morning Cannolis, we're going to turn to the significant event, the release of the document yesterday, the supporting affidavit that justified probable cause to enter into the premises of Mar-a-Lago, the former president's residence and office. We're going to talk about that document. And then at the end of the day, we're going to be chatting about the reasons why these two documents are not only important, but how they're connected and the direct relationship between them, the importance of history and beyond that. Again, we are encouraging you to join us at 844-967-2789 as we launch into right now this discussion of this very significant memorandum that came out of the United States Department of Justice just this past Wednesday. Let me go back and do a little bit of history on this, some of which you probably know, virtually all of which you probably know, a little bit of detail around the edges as well. You may recall well that Rod Rosenstein, who at that time was the Deputy Attorney General of the United States of America, the second in command, Jeff Sessions was the Attorney General of the United States of America, the chief federal law enforcement officer for the entire nation. At that time, there had been sufficient reason inside the Federal Bureau of Investigation to be concerned about whether or not there was Russian involvement in the 2016 election. Recall that well. And as a result of that, Rod Rosenstein, again, in his position as the Deputy Attorney General, decided to commission a report, an investigation leading up to a report, determining whether or not there was indeed some connection between Russia's involvement in our election, the results of it. Were they meddling? Were they involved in some way? And that's what gave rise, ultimately, I'm skipping over a fair amount of significant information here, ultimately to the appointment of a fellow named Robert Mueller. Robert Mueller, M-U-E-L-L-E-R. Mr. Mueller had previously served as the Deputy Attorney General. He was a United States Attorney in San Francisco for many years. He was the director of the FBI prior to that time, and he was pulled out of retirement to determine whether or not, again, there was this connection between the Russian involvement in our nation through social media, through various companies, other things, and the 2016 election, commissioned once again by the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein. And in the wake of a years-long investigation, most of which, virtually all of which, was not in the public domain appropriately, Bob Mueller issued a report. It's nearly 500 pages long. It's a lot to consume. And it is, as I've often said on this wonderful radio station, it is in many ways a prosecution memorandum. It's a description not only of what he found, but also about the bases upon which a prosecuting authority or on Capitol Hill, an impeaching authority could bring a case against the former president for obstruction of justice. Before even getting to that, however, Robert Mueller divided his report into two major sections. The first one focusing upon his principal assignment from Rod Rosenstein. That first portion of the report determining in the end that while there was parallelism, there was a certain amount of symmetry. There seemed to be not direct connections, but an awful lot of awareness of each other, the Russian entities that were the focus of the Mueller investigation and the Trump campaign did not, in fact, conspire. No reason to believe, based upon what Mueller put together, no reason to believe that there was a formal conspiracy and agreement between them to undermine the election. And that's a significant finding. And that's exactly what the report said in the first 200 or so pages of it. There was an awful lot of discussion at the time about this word collusion. Robert Mueller went to great length to explain rightly, accurately, that collusion is not a term of legal art, that rather the question is whether or not there was a conspiracy. And again, he found there was no factual basis, there was no legal basis to conclude that the Trump administration had indeed conspired with Russia in its individual capacities or generally to undermine, to affect the 2016 election. That's the first portion of the Mueller report. The reason why the events of this past week are so important is because we focus then upon the second, also 200 pages of materials in the Mueller report. And what did Bob Mueller go on to do? As part of the broad commission given to him by the Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, Bob Mueller went on to catalog, to describe and to detail in great detail the specific instances in which the now former president, then sitting president, Donald Trump, had attempted to obstruct the investigation of the Russia inquiry itself. In other words, during the course of that investigation, were there things that the former president, while he was in the Oval Office, in the White House, did to try to stop that investigation? And again, over the period of about 200 pages or so, some of which we'll talk about this morning, only because it's relevant to this memorandum, during the course of that 200 pages of findings, heavily documented, specific references to people talking about specific events, things said by the presidents, things said by people around him, documents and other strong indicia of obstruction of justice, Bob Mueller identifies 10 particular instances in which a prosecutor or an impeaching authority might find that there was obstruction. And he releases this report, and he says significantly that the reason why he is not and cannot recommend a prosecution of the president based upon what he's identified as 10 of these instances of obstruction is that there exists, as we have talked about in great detail, a memorandum inside the Department of Justice that prohibits the prosecution of a sitting president for crimes. It is not a statute. It's not a constitutional mandate, but it's been around for about 20 years in the wake of Watergate and other events in American history. An office called the Office of Legal Counsel, once again coming back to the issues of Justice Week, issued this memorandum saying, you know what, you can't prosecute or you should not prosecute a sitting president. And so Bob Mueller said, you know what, I can't do it based upon what I've found. And an awful lot of people, including me, believe that what Bob Mueller did instead was to author a report to be presented to the Congress to determine whether or not it should impeach on events that the Department of Justice could not prosecute on. We know the history there, which is that there was not a choice to impeach on these issues. Nonetheless, a compelling report about obstruction of justice. And along the way, prior to the release of that report, and this gets us to the specific memorandum of this past week, Bill Barr, before the public announcement of it, came forward and did a couple of things. He issued a letter, a four-page letter to Congress, and then talked publicly to the American population about what it said. Right after the break, we're going to tell you more about what he said at the time and the basis for that report to America, to Congress, from this memorandum. Join us right after the break as we get into the meat, the heart of this memorandum of this past week.